Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Good evening. I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be on Reaching Out Radio tonight. This is your sister Pearl in the Word on a Sunday evening. I want to say a special shout out to Evangelist Montel Fields. Thank God so much for this woman of God who has been led of the Lord to have this program on Reaching Out Radio. I want to welcome all of our listeners throughout the United States and around the globe. So grateful that you're listening tonight. This is your sister Pearl again, and we're going to be talking about I Shall Not Be Moved. But before I do, I want to give a special reach out and a special salute to Evangelist Montel's mom, who's in the hospital tonight, but we know that God is doing great and mighty things in her. And for any one of our listeners who might be infirm tonight or not feeling well or or battling an illness, we want to let you know that you're not forsaken. You're not forgotten. God is with you. God is very much a present help in the time of trouble. And so, what an exciting time to be alive. If you're alive and listening, I want to let you know that God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. You're not listening by accident. You're not listening by mistake. But God has divinely allowed you to either listen live to tonight's broadcast, or you might be listening on demand on our online web. So, I want to just open up with a special prayer tonight and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to direct us in this next hour. Will you join me? Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that is so precious yet so powerful, the name that soothes our sorrows, calms our fears, and dries every one of our tears. At the mention of that same tremendous, powerful name, demons have to tremble. Demons have to flee. And God, it's in that name that we come to you humbly, understanding our total dependency upon you, Holy Spirit of God, understanding how much we need you, how very important you are, how awesome you are. We just want to bless you tonight, Father. And we ask that you would reign and rule throughout this next hour, but not only for this hour as we're going to be on the broadcast, but that you would rule and reign in our lives, God, that you will be preeminent, that you will be the motivating and the dominant force in our lives, that you would lead and that we would follow. Make your name manifest. Make your name known to every individual that's listening to this broadcast. We pray, God, that you would bring healing, that you would bring deliverance, that you would bring salvation, that you would bring hope, that you would bring peace, and that you will do all the things that are necessary to meet the very needs of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So tonight, my brothers, my sisters, and for those of you not yet in the household of faith but listening to this broadcast, again, I want to welcome you. We're going to be talking about a special topic. It's entitled, I Shall Not Be Moved. And what a time. What a time to be bringing forth this word. I didn't even know about Paris and what was going to be happening in Paris at the time that I really had this word in my spirit. And yet we've had the killings. I believe at least 129 people are dead in France today, specifically in the city of Paris. And, you know, isn't it just like the Lord to give me this message at such a time as this? I want to let you know, though, as I was looking, I do have a Facebook account, and as I was looking at my Facebook account, I have to be honest, I'm going to share with you from my heart before I get into the message. But just, you know, heart to heart, as we say in Spanish, corazón a corazón, I want to share with you my personal sense when I looked at the very many, many, many Facebook posts. And I saw on those, so many posts. I have over 1,000 Facebook quote-unquote friends. And as I was looking at so many of these posts, especially from Christians, I saw that people were putting their profile picture with three different striped colors, and that was to represent the France flag, the French flag. And I understood it. It was certainly a positive thing to do. The colors of France are the same colors like we have in the United States of America, red, white, and blue. However, I really had to think, as I was looking at these many posts and people were saying, pray for Paris, you know, something in my spirit just did not sit right with that. It just did not settle. And not because I don't want to pray for for Parisians or French people. Certainly, God is so concerned about every individual on the planet that is a human being. He is concerned whether you're a murderer, whether you're an innocent victim of a horrible crime. God is still interested in you. And I am very much grieved over what happened in France with ISIS that has claimed to be the ones behind the killing of these French people, innocent people that were there just minding their own business, and the next thing you know, they're dead. But this is the world that we're living in 2015. What really got me is I was wondering, of all those many Christian people that were putting up posts, and even non-Christian, how many people are concerned not over 130 deaths, killings, murders by ISIS, but literally thousands upon thousands of Christians that have been slaughtered by ISIS within the past just few years? We're talking about 2 and 3 years, and certainly hundreds, if not thousands, in the year 2015. I mean, even the secular newspapers and magazines are admitting that this is what's going on. The New York Times, which is certainly not a Christian publication, very liberal, very secular, just as recently as July 22nd, they put out an article entitled, "Is This the End of Christianity?" Specifically talking about in the Middle East. That was just put out this year in July by the New York Times. Newsweek, definitely an ungodly publication. They had an article entitled "The New Exodus, Christianity Flees ISIS in the Middle East." And then another publication put out about kidnapped priest chopped up by ISIS in August of 2015. Breitbart News, as recently as September 29th, Breitbart News is not a Christian publication. Maybe there's some Christians working there, but it is a secular publication. And it posted in late September, ISIS has crucified, tortured, listen to this, not 130 as in France, thousands of Christians and forced them to flee their homes. CNN, again, very liberal news media, this year, April 24th, terrorist attacks on Christians mount. CNN is posting that. So my dilemma, as I was looking at all of these Parisian, you know, solidarity posts, that's all well and good, but come on, my brother, my sister in Christ, how many posts have you put up identifying and standing with thousands upon thousands of your Christian brothers and sisters who are being slaughtered as we speak? Jesus said that this is how the world will know that we love God, as we show love for one another. If I don't show love for my sister and brother first and foremost, how can I be so grieved over people that are not in the faith? I'm not grieved, and I'm not posting, and I'm not crying, and I'm not travailing over not 130, but thousands upon thousands of brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, little children being decapitated, tortured, slaughtered on a daily basis. There's something wrong with that. And so we have to really think very well and examine ourselves. Are we being led and our emotions being led solely by the media, or are we being led by the Holy Spirit of God to see what is going on? Another question that I had for myself, and I'm going to pose to you, is what about the 55 million children that have been aborted in America? Where is the outcry for that? Where is the outrage? Where is the putting our profile in some kind of a special position to stand with the slaughtered children that are being vacuumed, that are being annihilated, that are being stabbed, that are being strangled, that are being pulled apart, minute by minute, in our country? Here goes the reality. And I know I'm going to be talking about I Shall Not Be Moved, but I had to share this first. And it's not only for those listening in America, but throughout the many countries that we know listen to Reaching Out Radio. I know so many of my friends on an international basis listen to these programs, and thank God that you do. But whether it's in the United States or it's in your nation, we need to be led by the Spirit of God and be convicted by God's Spirit and not be so easily influenced by ungodly society. Yes, we're devastated over what happened in France, very much grieved over that, and we stand in solidarity with them against the evil that was perpetrated on these people. But I will not be more outraged about French people dying than I will be for my brothers and sisters being slaughtered. I will not become more vocal about the French 130 than I will be about the thousands upon thousands of people that love and follow Jesus Christ and are being tortured. God is not a respecter of persons, and you and I need not to be respecter of persons. We need to care just as much, even more so, for the household of faith that are being slaughtered on a daily basis, not just in these extreme occasions. May the Lord help us to keep focused, to keep our eyes on the prize. But here goes the question. The lead-in song for today's broadcast is a song that is sung by Carrie Roberts. It's entitled No Matter What. And no matter what is going on, and we know that more and more things are going to be going on in whatever nation that you are listening to this broadcast from, more and more things will be happening. Why? This is not a pronouncement by Sister Pearl. I'm just repeating what the Bible teaches us. Jesus said, when you see these things to begin to happen, look up, because your redemption draws near. What does that mean? As you see the things that Jesus said will come to pass in Matthew chapter 24, when you see these things happen, and I would challenge you to read the Word of God, read Matthew 24, read the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See what Jesus said. See what the men of God anointed of the Holy Spirit wrote under the unction of the Holy Spirit. See what they said was going to happen. And you will know we're not looking for the end times to come upon us, but we're actually living in the end times. We're living in those days. And so what must the posture be of a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, a saint of God, in such a time as this? This is a crazy time. It's a time that if you don't stay in the Word of God, it's a very confusing time. Just recently, you had, and I'm sure that this is not just news in America, but this is news around the globe, you have a man that was an Olympian by the name of Bruce Jenner. Now he's going by the name of Caitlyn Jenner. He just recently, I think it was as recent as last week, received a great, quote-unquote, honor by Glamour Magazine, Woman of the Year. Now listen, he received the title Woman of the Year, yet this individual has not had his personal male organ removed. He is walking around with the full equipment that God gave him as a man. I want you to think about that for just a few seconds. How could a man that did not even have his genitalia removed or, you know, taken away, how can he receive the Woman of the Year award? If he wanted to, he could impregnate a woman tonight because he has his full everything. But yet we are living under such deception. We're living under such confusion. We're living under such vicious lies of the enemy that a man can receive the Woman of the Year award by Glamour magazine. Wow. We need to really come back to God individually and collectively. We're almost in a position now, and I'm speaking not only to the unbeliever. I am speaking to the child of God, the person that's claiming to be a child of God. We recently had another woman that was, and that is extremely well known in America, and she's also, her name is known in many countries where they receive gospel television. You know, the new thing is that you can be married, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried again for the third time, fourth time, fifth time, and you can still be a bishop, and you can still be a preacher, and you can still be a pastor, and you can still tell other people how they should be living their lives. This is not so. So when we, as the ones who want to stay with God and want to follow God, when we see these things happening, and by the way, the same female pastor that I was just talking about, she also, with her third husband now, has put out a picture recently during Halloween where she's dressed up, I don't know if it's a witch's outfit or some kind of outfit with a black hoodie, and then her new husband, who is a rock star, he's dressed up like the big bad wolf for Halloween. And so when people of God see these things, especially new Christians, new believers, you wonder, okay, so what do I go with? Do I go with what I see other quote unquote leaders in the Christian realm are doing? Do I follow what they're doing, or do I stick with God and stick with the Word of God? I would encourage you to do what I am endeavoring and desiring and asking God to help me to do, and that is to stay with God and His Word and do not be moved. I want to read you just a little something from Psalm 62. My Bible that I'm reading from says, it has a little caption. It says, "A calm resolve to wait for the salvation of God." And this whole chapter of Psalm 62 talks about waiting patiently on God. I was asking the question, what should the believing child of God do in 2015? What kind of posture should we take? The posture that we should take is we should have a stance, a spiritual stance of, I will not be moved from what God says, and from what God tells me, and from what God has anointed me to do, I will not be moved from that. I will not be turned around. I will not be confused. I will not be turned back. I will not believe something that is contrary to God and His Word in these last days. I will not be fearful. With the terrorists just going, you know, into concert halls, into soccer stadiums, into wherever, and just shooting people in restaurants. You know, what does the enemy want to do? Obviously, he wants to bring a spirit and a blanket of fear upon the people. And I tell you what, if you don't know the Lord, and if I don't know the Lord, I should be fearful. I have every reason to be fearful. But for the child of God, there is no fear. perfect love cast out all fear. So there is no reason. I can go to a restaurant in the name of the Lord. I can go to any restaurant. I can go into, I am broadcasting tonight from New York City. I can go into the subway station and take the subway and ride the buses and drive across the big bridge without fear. Why? Because my life is hid with Christ in God. So I'm not fearful about ISIS. ISIS is not scaring me. And I have to be honest to you, and I want to say this, not that I'm claiming to be a prophet. I am not claiming to be any such thing. But I can say what I'm going to say prophetically. Paris and France, they're just dry runs for what these terrorist, demonic maniacs would like to do on United States land. If you think what they did in Paris is something, can you just imagine what they would like to do here in America? Because they fear us, and they hate us 100 times more than they hate the French people. They feel that we present a greater threat to them than the French do. So I looked at this whole thing, as horrible as it was, as horrific and as terrible as it was, I looked at that as a dry practice run for what they would like to do within American shores. So that means that Christians in America should be preparing for what is to come. Thank God that God has been staying the hands of these terrorists since 9/11. A lot of times, you know, the FBI, the CIA, the federal agents, they catch them before they're actually able to do what they would love to do here. But let me tell you something. The more this nation rebels against the Holy God, the more the protection of God is going to be lifted. The hedge of protection is being lifted. The more we rebel, the more we stay in unrepented sin and wickedness and defiance against the Holy God, the more you're going to see that our borders will be laid bare and naked for the enemy to cross right on in and do whatever he would like to do. So, I believe, and I believe that I'm speaking as a voice that the Lord has given to speak these words. We that love God, we that seek to follow and honor God and obey God, we need to take a position of standing and not lying down and not surrendering and not retreating and not being dumbed down and certainly not being fearful, certainly, you know, not being paranoid, but we need to take a position of standing. Verse 2 of Psalm 62 says it like this. He, meaning God, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So this second verse of Psalm 62 alludes to the fact that in the natural, we may feel a little bit shaken. We may feel just a tad bit moved. Just a bit. And so the psalmist writes, I shall not be greatly moved. But then again, later on in verse 6, he says it more concretely and definitively, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Meaning, I will not even be a little bit moved. Why? Because I am not looking to President Obama, God bless him, but he is not my source. He is not my protection. He is not my strength. Only God is my rock and my salvation. Not Obama, not another president, not, God forbid, if Hillary Clinton were to take the presidency, and I say, God forbid. Not any other man, not any Republican president, not any Democratic president, not any independent or conservative president, or any prime minister in other nations, or any king or queen in other nations that have the monarchy to rule them. Only God is our defense, and we will not be moved when we are standing firm upon the solid rock. And who is that solid rock? None less and none other than Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Redeemer. How wonderful. How wonderful. We will not be moved. Can you imagine King David, that time in his life when his army was so angry over the fact that while they were out from their homes and they went abroad to another place, another city, and to defeat the enemies in that place, while they were out from their homes, another enemy had come into where they lived in their neighborhood, in their communities, and kidnapped their wives, kidnapped their children, took all of their property, their cattle, their gold, their silver, the food, everything, and took everything. So when they went back into their town, their wives were gone, their children were missing, their cattle was gone, the food was gone, everything was gone. And what they wanted to do to King David was kill him, because they were feeling, well, if it weren't for you, we would not have lost our families. Now, we know that if you read the end of that story, thank God, that God caused David, while his men were conspiring and thinking how they were going to kill him, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's another thing that you and I have to do in these last days. We must encourage ourselves and ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot just wait to go to church to have the pastor encourage us. Or we cannot wait for the Sunday school teacher to encourage us. Or we cannot wait for our best friend to say an encouraging word. But we've got to live in the Word of God. Live on our knees before God. And have the Holy Spirit encourage us. As we, when it says encourage yourself in the Lord, it is literally meaning applying yourself to God and His Word. And then standing on that word, believing on that word, applying that word, eating that word, fleshing out that word on a daily basis. And to the point where the word becomes a part of you, your very being exudes God's word. Amen. And so when the enemy would come to try to spook you, to make you feel afraid, you will not be. With so much happening in the world at this present time, and even in the church in America, it's so easy for people to feel as if their whole world is coming apart. That's how David must have felt, most likely. Wow, his men want to kill him. But as he encouraged himself in the Word of God, guess what? God gave him the plan. He was not killed by his, you know, soldiers. But he encouraged himself, he encouraged them, and they went and they got back their wives, they got back their property, they got back their children, and they defeated their enemies who came in and took their families away. They were able to go find them, get their families back, and defeat their enemies. Because why? All because they put their faith and trust in a holy God. Now, for some of us will be martyred. I don't know what my end will be. I just know that my end is secure, no matter how I leave this place, whether I leave martyred or I leave dying of old age or, you know, what. However I leave, I leave. But I leave safe and secure, and while I'm yet alive, I am not shaken. I am not moved. God does not want me to be shaken. If you put your trust and faith in God, He does not want you, believing child of God, to be moved by what you see, by what you hear. Can I tell you something? You're going to see and you're going to hear a whole lot more. you will see, I repeat, and you will hear a whole lot more. You're going to see things that you've never seen before. You're going to hear things that you never heard before. The psalmist said in Psalm 21, verse 7, "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken." See, we're depending upon God and his character. And when we have covenant with God, see, this promise about God keeping us is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. I know everybody would like to claim that, but I have to tell you the truth. It is not for everyone. Even that promise in Romans talks about all things work together for good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You know, all things work together for good, but work together for good, there's a condition there. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. That's not a just, you know, across the board promise. That is a promise for those people that what? That love God. That love God. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So in other words, that promise comes with a condition. We have to love God for the all things to work together for our good. And we must be living in such a way that we're called according to his purposes, not just doing our own thing, but doing the purpose, the manifest purpose of God for our lives, walking in that. So that means that there has to be some kind of relationship with God. There's not just all things will work together for good to anybody and everybody. No, it's not. It's for the believing child of God. And to the believing saint of God, he shows his loving kindness. And because God shows his loving kindness, you and I will not be shaken. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." Mount Zion is not going to be shaken. Mount Zion remains constant. Cannot be moved. It stays forever. And the Bible says, they that trust in the Lord, we also will be unmovable. Amen. Psalms 55, verse 5. "He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken." So if I give my brother or sister in Christ some money, I loan them some money, I am not going to be charging them interest. And I'm not going to be taking bribes, you know, and say some lying thing about somebody who's innocent. I know they're innocent. They know they're innocent. But because some evil person wants to put money in my hand and make me say, "Oh, no, she's guilty, he's guilty." The Bible says if I do that, well, pretty much I can be shaken. But if I maintain integrity in God and I don't take a bribe against the innocent, I will never be shaken. Why? Because God is steadfast, and he'll be holding me. And as long as he's holding me, I become unmovable. It's not that I'm unmovable in my own flesh. It's that when I'm in God, secure in God, I'm unmovable. The Bible tells us not only in Peter, the Epistle of Peter, but even in the Old Testament. In Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Now, come on. We're talking about days that in the natural, it's very easy for us to be shaken. In America, I don't know how it is for all of the other nations. In America right now, to be a Christian is almost like a dirty word. To be a Christian in America right now is to be rebuked even by the president of the nation. He has little to nothing to say about good to say about Christians. He has actually more good things to say about Muslims. But it's not only the president. It's the media. It's your neighbor. It's the coworker. It's the people in the marketplace. You know, the Christian, to carry the label Christian now, is to be rebuked. It's to be mocked. It's to be scorned. Yes, even in these United States of America, it's frightening. In the now. But I tell you, as people in God, understanding and discerning the times, all we have to do, if we're being mocked and ridiculed, we need to be rejoicing. Jesus told us that. If we're being reviled because we're carrying and bearing the name of Christ, we need to rejoice for that because we're identifying with Jesus Christ. We will not be shaken. The Bible says that cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Again, I was quoting from Psalm 55, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. So what you see, the wicked now having a grand old time, just know. You see them now, but there'll be a time where you will not see them any longer. Their time will be coming. God has their times and our times in his hands. Proverbs 12, verse 3, a man will not be established by wickedness. But look at this. The root of the righteous will not be moved. I know in the natural right now, if you look with your natural eyes, if I look with my natural eyes, it seems, it appears as if the righteous is in full control, you know, in having, completely having their way. It does appear that. It really does. They seem to be in control. They seem to be doing whatever they want to do. And the Christians seem to be at the back of the bus in the rear. But remember, there's coming a day when God is going to judge. God's going to change situations. He's going to turn things around. Now we go to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we, you and I, receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We're not talking about a kingdom that can be shaken. That spooked me. Okay? France was just recently shaken, no doubt about it. 9/11, America was severely shaken. Syria, shaken. Lebanon, shaken. Christians in Iran, Iraq, shaken. You know, all these nations, England, they don't like to talk about it, but England is really under siege by radical terrorist Muslims. In some communities, Sharia law is just the one in control, not British law, Sharia law. So, for those of us that have a kingdom, God's kingdom, that we're walking according to the kingdom of God, this kingdom cannot be shaken. We're talking tonight about I shall not be moved. Hebrews 12, 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom, Jesus said, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And right now, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. We walk and live and abide and reside in an invisible kingdom which cannot be shaken. I'm an American by birth, but let me tell you something. I am more a citizen of heaven than I am a citizen of the United States of America. Rightly so, because I am walking according by God's grace. I don't always make it. Sometimes I miss the mark. I will not lie to you. I will not try to fool you. I miss the mark many a time. Repent and continue to walk again. But I don't walk according to this fleshly kingdom, United States of America. I'm walking according to the precepts of the kingdom of God. And because of that, I don't walk with my head hung down or in fear. Because I know that I'm walking according to the precepts of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, will not be shaken. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. See, this is how we're going to not be shaken. We cannot set the television continually before us. We cannot set the latest movie continually before us. We cannot be watching the gossip, you know, reading the gossip magazines and the gossip articles and find out, well, what's happening with Kanye West right now? What's happening with his wife? You know, what's happening with Beyonce? We cannot be interested in these things. I mean, even what is happening to celebrity, quote-unquote, Christians. What's the latest thing with Benny Hinn? What's the latest thing with Joel Osteen? You know what? I hear that sometimes. And it's good to know what's going on, but, you know, is that really important? No. Because I'm not setting them before me. I'm setting the Lord continually before me. I'm not following these people, these names that I just mentioned. You know, I wish them the best. I wish that they would live according to the will of God and that God would use them mightily as they follow God. But the thing of it is, I cannot set them continually before me, because if I do, can I be honest? 99.9%, I'll probably find myself in hell. I'll have to set the Lord continually before me. And when I do that, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will be shaken if I set a Christian celebrity before me. I will be shaken. Oh, definitely I will be shaken. But if I set Jesus before me, the Lord continually before me, and if I have the Lord at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. You know, I meet so many women, so many men that are devastated because they married somebody that somebody did not treat them well or, you know, cheated on them, violated them, abused them, deceived them. And now their whole world is shaken. I kid you not. I hear it in the counseling sessions. I hear it while they're asking me to pray. But see, now if they set the Lord before them, not that individual, as much as they love that person, but they set God to be the number one person in their lives, guess what? They will not be shaken. That man will come, that man will go, and yet that person will not be shaken. That woman may enter a man's life, or she may leave and decide she wants another man. But that man of God, the man that's standing in God, the man that has his sight set on Jesus, and his faith and hope, fully grounded in Christ, that individual is not shaken. Sad, yes. Disappointed, yes. You know, unhappy because of what happened, yes. We will not kid you. We will not lie. Of course. But shaken? No. They remain firm. They remain unmovable. I saw the Lord always in my presence, David said, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Psalm 30, verse 6. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. We just have a few more minutes. I want to take you to a special portion of Scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. The Word of God reads like this. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. What is an anchor? You know, when a big ship comes into your city, okay, and docks at your shore. That ship has to have an anchor. That's a big, heavy weight that connects itself to the shoreline so that the ship cannot, you know, blow back out into the sea or into the river, into the ocean, wherever. So you and I, we have this hope in Christ Jesus, and it anchors our soul. It keeps our soul firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Let me see if I can read you some more of this, because this is just precious. This is precious. And we need to get into the Word of God more and more in these last days. I mean, we always needed to be in the Word of God, but we can definitely not afford to stay away from God's Word right now. The Word of God says like this. I'm going to read from verse 13 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now, you and I don't have time this evening, but I would challenge you and encourage you to go and see what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. So after waiting patiently, look and read up in the Old Testament all the things that Abraham experienced before he received his promise. People swear, verse 16, by someone greater than themselves. They swear by their mother. They swear by some great president or some great individual. People swear by someone greater than themselves. And the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. Now listen to this. Look at the words that's used there. And I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version right here. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. So number one, God's nature is unchanging. The nature of his purpose is unchanging. It's very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Okay? So number one, his word does not lie, and he does not lie. And he when God says something, you can take that to the bank. It's done. But then God even goes a step further. He says, look, I'm going to swear by my own character, by my very self, because I cannot find anybody my equal and definitely nobody greater than me. So nobody equals God. Nobody. God alone is God. And God says, I'm going to swear by myself, by my own character. So God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the ears of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So you and I, woman of God, man of God, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you tonight. Be greatly encouraged. Do not be fearful. Your hope should be greatly encouraged and strengthened. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm, secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. Remember, he's the high priest ever making intercession for you and for me. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You're not alone. I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. Jesus is before me. Jesus is behind me. Jesus is at my right hand. Jesus is at my left hand. Jesus is above me. Jesus is beneath me. Jesus surrounds me. So there is no reason for me to fear. I shall not be moved from my place in God. I am seated with heavenly, I am seated with him in heavenly places, Ephesians 2 tells us. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. So my mind and my focus, even though I am still living in this world, but I am not of this world, neither should you be. I am not blown away and devastated over a 9/11, over the three incidents that were taking place in France. Horrible. Devastating. And for the families that lost loved ones, I cannot even begin to comprehend what they're going through tonight. But for you and I, listening to this broadcast, we have an anchor that holds our souls. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Not wavering, not being blown like something in the wind, firm. I believe those brothers and sisters that lost their lives through beheading by terrible ISIS terrorists, demonic people, anointed of the devil to kill and to destroy. I believe that those saints that were martyred, I believe that they were martyred and God gave them tremendous peace. I believe that they had their souls anchored, firm and secure on the solid rock. And that's how come they could, you know, go through what they went through. What about those young people living in Roseburg, Oregon, right here in the northwest of the United States of America? The gunman, that lone gunman, he asked those young people in that college, what is your faith? And as each one individually, he asked them. He didn't gun them down. No, he did it one by one. He asked them, what's your faith? Are you a Christian? And if they said yes, he gunned them down, shot them in the head. I believe that they were unmoved. They were sure about their salvation. They knew who they were in Christ. They knew that they belonged to Jesus. They knew that come, you know, hell or high water, I'm with Christ. If I live, I live. If I die, I die. But I die with Christ. I believe those young people who were murdered in Oregon just in October, I believe with all my heart that they were not moved. It was obvious that they were not moved because they could have, when they saw the first person get shot, if they were going to be moved, they would say, okay, well, I'm not a Christian. No. Their faith was unmovable. And so they said, one by one, I belong to Jesus. And they lost their earthly lives, but they just continued life eternal with Christ. So that's my word of encouragement as the Lord gave it to me for you tonight. I hope that you're blessed. We're not to be moved by what we see, by what we hear. You know, Supreme Court says, okay, this is the new marriage. Follow this. No. We're not moved by that. We're not moved by ISIS. I want to kill you. I want to switch it. No, we're not moved by that. We're people of God that are led by the Spirit of God. That's what I want to exhort you with tonight. I want to leave you with that. Be led by the Spirit of God. And remember, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where you must live. That's where I must live, in Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Father God, just thank you for this word. Bless every individual that would listen to this message. If they don't know you, draw them to know you, Lord God. Give them life eternal in Christ Jesus. I bless you, listening audience. Stay firm and secure in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Sister Pearl loves you. On behalf of Evangelist Montel Fields and Reaching Out Radio, have a great night until we meet again. Amen.